This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday, NFL Lunch. Roquan Smith was fine, $16,000 plus.
Yeah.
Can appeal said fine. Probably loses said appeal, but, NFL decided that it was a hip drop tackle, season-ending injury for Chris Godwin. Do you think that might have had some sort of role in the fine being levied at all?
I would think so. I would think that him, you know, dislocating the ankle and being out, I imagine that had a lot to do with it.
Let's see. Missing for practice today. This is all media outlets. Cordell, Gianna Hahn, Jonas Schaefer, Jeff Zrebeck, Elvis, Rasheen Ali, not there. TJ Tampa, not there. Redshirt years, it's looking like for both.
Yeah.
Tez Walker, I guess, falls into that category. But Marlon Humphrey in practice, so there you go. Was on the side field. But Zay Flowers did return.
That's a big one, just because of, if I'm Zay, I want to play. I mean, they're going to play man-to-man coverage. Yeah, sign me up.
Now, let's go to Cleveland and Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Browns, a couple of days ago was asked why, Deshaun Watson's hurt. We know that. DTR got hurt, but Jameis Winston's getting the start. So let's talk about that one, Kevin Stefanski.
Jameis is a guy we've kind of talked about all offseason who works very hard at this. Like you mentioned, has a ton of experience. Playing this game, has seen a lot. He prepares really well, so yeah, feel good about it.
Basically, he's all we got left.
No doubt. Well, Thompson practiced yesterday. So, yeah, hopefully he can be like Joe Flacco was.
I mean, I get it. It's every sport. You talk up the replacement like they're good enough to be starters, but there's a reason they don't start. Now, in Cleveland, it might be a little different because of the contract of Watson. He was kind of just forced into that. That's no longer part of the equation. But Jameis Winston, we understand, has potential. This guy won a Heisman Trophy and a national championship as a freshman. Number one pick in the draft. Bounced around a little bit since his Tampa days, but Jameis Winston himself was asked what he can do to give that offense a little bit of a spark here.
What I can do is be decisive, keep everything simple, and just do my job. What we can do as an offense is to be decisive, keep things simple, and do our job.
Well, that's pretty simple. You know, I mean, the biggest thing that...
Be decisive.
Yeah. The biggest thing that they can do to help him out, run the football. Have success running the ball. You know, and if Chubb could rush for 120 yards or something like that, I think that would be huge for them. And it would make life a lot easier for Jameis. And it would make it a lot easier for him, for those offensive linemen. And it would make it a lot easier for him to throw the football. If they get behind and the Ravens make them one-dimensional and he's got to throw it every snap, he's going to be in serious trouble with that O-line.
He's going to have to be decisive, though. We've heard
he's going to have to be very decisive.
Now, Ken Dorsey's taken over as the play caller from Kevin Stefanski, and here's Kevin explaining it.
Yeah, I'm just always looking at what we can do to just be a little bit better. And truth is, we have to be better on offense. And Coach Dorsch is somebody that I rely on very heavily. And I just feel like this is the right thing for the team.
Yeah, well, Stefanski's probably saying, give somebody else, you know, a shot at this. I've been running this thing, and we're 32nd, you know, in offense, 30th in pass, 29th in rush. So we can only get better. I'll give somebody else the opportunity. Or maybe, who knows, maybe it came from the owner. With them, you never know.
Jimmy Haslam?
Yes.
He's about as hands-on as it gets, right?
Him and Teller, and yeah.
Yeah. Tepper.
Tepper.
Yeah. Penn and Teller. I guess Teller's hands-on, depending on the magic trick. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Football Friday, Featured Artist Friday. Let's bring it back home to the Ravens. And, hey, two picks, both by Marlon, who's probably not playing Sunday against Cleveland. But Zach Orr was asked what the defense can take away, at least from a psychological standpoint, getting a couple of turnovers there.
At the end of the day, if you want to play good defense, yeah, you can stop people, get people off the field. But the best way to play good defense is get the ball. The most important thing in football is the football, and our job is to take the ball away and give the ball back to the offense. And so two takeaways like that just shows our guys that you take the ball away, you can change the game. And what we was most proud about is the two takeaways Marlon got. It was simple coverage, him just doing his fundamentals, him doing his technique, and then when the play presented itself to make it, he'd made it. So, you know, we was happy about that.
Yeah, plus, it's demoralizing to the offense. I mean, what do you think with Tampa when he intercepts in the end zone? You know, when they're moving it right down the field. So, yeah, it's demoralizing to the offense. And then for the defense, they're saying, hey, guys, I mean, that offense over there, now, don't give them a short field. I mean, you know, it's hard enough to stop them, but on a short field, it'll make it even more difficult.
Now, the Ravens were up big. And then Tampa kind of chipped away, got an onside kick, much to the dismay of John Harbaugh and everyone else involved there. But thought was, Ed Reed kind of alluded to this on the Manning cast, that the Ravens right now defensively, they don't have closers. They're not closing the deal. They're leaving the door open. They're taking foots off gases or whatever. Here's Zach Orr commenting on those comments.
I don't think we took our foot off the gas from a physical standpoint. I think we did have a couple, you know, mental lapses in that fourth quarter, man, and that was frustrating. That was frustrating, disappointing. You know, we was happy we won the game, but we kind of, you know, we felt real bad. The thing that we've been talking about the last couple of days is, man, it's how you finish. And we just talking about just in life in general. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Our players did a hell of a job from really the second quarter all the way through that fourth quarter, and then, you know, the fourth quarter was terrible, and that's what everybody's going to talk about.
Yeah, the fourth quarter was bad. I mean, they gave up 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They gave up 200 yards in the fourth quarter. Yeah, finishing. You know how you finish? Somebody makes a play. Somebody makes a sack. Somebody makes a sack fumble. Or, you know what? Todd Monken said it. If they don't fumble backwards or whatever, they go down and score, make it 41-10. They're the closer. You know, and help the defense out who's struggling closing. But, you know, Marlon helped him with the 2 picks. But in that time when, you know, they're scoring touchdown after touchdown after touchdown in the fourth quarter, somebody stand up and say, hey, enough of this crap. Let me go sack him. Let me go do something. Yeah, but somebody, well, just like every time when the offense has needed it in the fourth quarter, Bob, to go close, who closes it? Henry makes a 80-yard run or a 40-yard run or something to, you know, it's a critical situation. They end it. The defense, they want to extend it.
And by the way, as we've discussed many times, and everybody, you watch the games, it's not the first time it's happened.
No, it's fourth 7 quarter. Times.
Yeah, I mean, they begin shredded there in the second half. I mean, Dallas, let's go back to that one. That was an easy win that turned into a nail-biter at the end. And we're not trying to harp on the defensive shortcomings, but this one's interesting as I see it. Teams against the Ravens, their third down defense, we talked about the stats earlier, not all that great. As a matter of fact, they're 27th in the NFL in third down defense. So, Zach Orr, what the hell's going on there?
I think the first thing, a lot of the getting them into more third and longer situations. Uh-huh, I think this last game in particular was a lot of third and one, third and two, third and threes. And obviously we had to deal with speed breaks and the backs out to the flat. So, you know, we got to do a better job of stopping teams on third downs. When we stop teams on third down,
I mean, shoot, we know we're gonna pretty much win the game. But I think we help ourselves out by getting them into third and longer situations where you can really like tee off and attack quarterbacks and protect.
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal. But the thing is, it starts on first down, and we've been talking about that today. Stop them on first down. Don't give them 5 or 6 yards on first down. And that's what Tampa was doing. They were getting 5 yards, handing it off on first down. Then they're, you know, then you're 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4, 3rd and 2. I mean, that was the trend. You know, and he talks about, yeah, if we're good on third down, I mean, they're 27th in the league right now on third down. So a lot of that. And you put them behind the chains? Yeah. And, Bob, you know what another problem is that I see is, like, in the fourth quarter? They're not getting the pressure on the quarterback, and the quarterback has time to throw the ball, and the secondary has to cover longer, and they can't hold up, and the front doesn't get pressure.
It's 5880-1057. The Fan, will come back. Picks, college and pro. There was a game last night. I think we all got it right, but we'll elaborate. And then we're going to preview the Fall Classic Yankees at the Dodgers. Game one coming up tonight. Mike Exesa, CBSSports.com. You can hear World Series action on 105.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
7 the Fan.
You can pick your friends.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to get into this weekend. Winning some beer, wine if you're Vinny. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Nolan McGraw. Time for our picks. Week 9. College football, week 8 of the National Football League season. Before we get into said games, there was an NFL extravaganza last night. Nolan McGraw, it was the Rams hosting Minnesota, 3-point dogs. We all took LA. So what's the standings looking like going into tonight and all the fun stuff there?
Bob still out in front, 91-52. Vinny's 3 games back, 88-55. And I'm bringing up that rear, 82-61.
You're lugging a piano right now, yep. Nolan McGraw.
A game a week, that's the goal.
Manny Machado running to first base with a bobbled ground ball to shortstop there. But let's start with college. Maryland's at Minnesota. This was a 4-point spread. It's just dropped to 3 again. Golden Gophers coming off a bye. Maryland coming off that dramatic win against USC. Vinny, what do you got here?
I'm going to take the Gophers off the bye. And big game for both, and it's home game for Minnesota. If it was at Terp Land, I'd take the Terps. I'm going to take Minnesota in Minnesota.
Yeah, I just can't be confident in the Terps winning back-to-back at this point, and maybe a little bit of a letdown off of an emotional win last week.
I'll go with Minnesota. I'm going Maryland. I'll take the home team here. Notre Dame, Navy at New Jersey, number 12 versus number 24. Fighting Irish, 13.5-point favorite.
I got the Irish. They're much more talented than Navy.
Right, just personnel-wise, Vinny, you said it earlier in the week. I mean, Navy's got the goofy scheme, but that's all they've got. Notre Dame should win.
I'm going to go with Notre Dame as well. Illinois at number one. Oregon fighting Illini, number 20. Oregon, 22-point favorites at home.
Puffy pants, Oregon.
Yep, no need to think about this one.
I'm with you on that one. Missouri minus their top running back at Alabama, too. Kind of disappointing teams, if you think about it. 21 at number 15. Alabama, hefty spread there, minus 17.
I think Alabama at home, I think they get right.
Yep, they'll come out a little pissed off and get the win.
I'm going with Alabama, too. We're kind of all agreeing here, and I think we're going to agree on this next game. Number 5, Texas at number 25, Vanderbilt. Longhorns just got blown out, yeah, at home. 18.5-point favorites at Vandy, where Alabama lost as the number one team in the country a few weeks ago.
Arch Manning will be in by the fourth quarter.
I think Vanderbilt's exhausted a decade's worth of upsets already by just beating Alabama, so they're going to have to sit and wait a while. Give me Texas.
Arch Manning, fourth quarter because it's a blowout or because they need him to save the game? Yeah, I'm going Texas, too. And then LSU, Neusmeyer. He's the dude, man. He's Ryan Wilson's top
quarter comeback guy.
Yeah, they're at number 14, Texas A&M. A&M land one against Vinny's favorite coach, Brian Kelly, there.
Yeah, I'm taking A&M. That's a tough place to play at A&M. And is it a night? If it's a night game, too, that's even more difficult. But I'll take A&M.
Yep, give me Texas A&M here. Probably the toughest game to pick here college-wise, but I'll go with the home team.
We can't be this boring. I'll go LSU. What the hell? All right, let's get to the NFL. Let's see here. Tennessee at Detroit. Titans laboring through another subpar season. Hopkins now in Kansas City. Lions land 12.5.
Yeah, I'll take Detroit in this one. Like Norm says, don't overthink it.
Right, and maybe reverse the location. If it's in Tennessee, you think trap game, but nah, give me Detroit.
Let's go to Lions here as well. Arizona at Miami. Tua's been cleared. He's playing. Dolphins minus 4.
Yeah, I think the receivers will be excited. I think they'll be back to winging it around. I'd take Miami.
I'm going to go with the Cardinals in this one. I think everyone's just kind of assuming that once Tua comes back that the Dolphins just magically win. Cardinals are a weird team. Some weeks they show up, some weeks they don't. I think they show up this week.
And look, Kyler Murray was whining about not getting any respect after their win earlier this week, and it's unfortunate that it's at this stage for Tua Tagovailoa, but he's like the glass jaw boxer now. Any hard hit, is he going to be out yet again? I think I'm with Nolan. I'm going with Arizona to pull the upsets. Not like Tua's going to come out and be like he was in, like, you know, early in the season or last year. Give me the Cardinals. Jets at New England. New York minus 7.
Now I'll take the Jets here.
Culture's not great in either building, but in New England, their coach just insulted the team's work ethic this past week, so I'll go with the Jets.
Yeah, I'm going Jets, too. Let's see. By the way, spreads are for entertainment purposes only here. We're just picking winners. Atlanta at Tampa. First place on the line. Falcons already own a win over the Buccaneers. Tampa, no Godwin, no Mike Evans. Does that mean no hope?
Man, I just think, yeah, because of the receivers out, you know, Tampa scoring points, and Atlanta's got a lot of weapons. I'm going to say Atlanta sweeps them.
Yeah, it's tough to pick that sweep with how talented both teams are, but the injuries, I just can't ignore it for Tampa. Give me the Falcons.
I'm going Biscuit Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers to win at home. I see Kirk Cousins doing something Cousins-like that will change the tide of the game. Philly at Cincinnati, Bengals minus 3. They win, they're back at 500, or they'll be at 500 for the first time this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati's won, but they haven't looked good doing it. The defense has gotten a little better with the teams that they played against. I'm going to take Philly.
I think the Bengals find a way here. It just seems like they're on a crash course to make that Ravens matchup actually meaningful, so I'll go with the The Bengals.
Yeah, I'm a Nolan. I'll go with the Bengals to defend the home turf in a game that I think might turn out to be somewhat boring, even though there's potential for fireworks. I don't know. I mean, you got great receiving duos, Higgins and Chase and Smith and Brown. I mean, and Finkel and Einhorn. Green Bay minus 4.5 at Jacksonville.
I'll take the Pack. I think the Packers have too many weapons for Jacksonville. And, you know, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play good, then it could be even a bigger score.
Yeah, Jacksonville just not figuring things out fast enough. Not sure what's going on with Peterson. I'll go with the Pack.
I'm going Jacksonville. I can see an upset. Tank. Tank in the house. Doing some good things. Hey, Jordan Love's good for a couple of picks a game. I will take Jacksonville. By the way, if they lose, I'm never picking them again. How about Indy at the Houston Texans? First place on the line in the AFC South. Houston minus 5.
I'm going to go with the better quarterback. I'll take Houston.
Yeah, I think the Texans get their bounce back win here after a close loss last week.
Make it unanimous. Houston here as well. New Orleans at the Chargers. Chargers minus 7 coming off that loss at Arizona.
Yeah. I'll take the Chargers. Although they don't have a lot of weapons, but I think they'll have enough to beat New Orleans.
Right. It might be ugly. It might be low scoring and close, but the Chargers will win.
I'll go with San Diego. Charger, whatever, wherever they play. Chargers. Buffalo at Seattle. Seattle blew out Atlanta last week in Atlanta. Buffalo, I mean, they're going to win the East just because, unless Tua turns into Magic Man. Buffalo minus 3 on the road.
I like Seattle. I like their weapons. I like the run game. Buffalo, you know, we saw what the Ravens did to them. And Josh Allen hadn't been playing great as of late. I'm going to take Seattle and Mike McDonald.
I just don't know if the Seahawks can beat good teams consistently. A lot of their wins this year beating up on those that are weaker than them or on the same level. I think the Bills win here.
I'm going Buffalo as well. Chicago at Washington. No Jaden Daniels. It looks like Marcus Mariota, who played great against Carolina. It is Carolina. Bears minus 3. By the way, Caleb Williams from the DMV area.
Yep, I think... DJ Moore from the Terps and Chicago. I'm taking Chicago. I like Chicago's defense better. And Mariota putting back-to-back games together, I'll say no.
Well, I tell you, it's a real shame that we were deprived of the top two quarterbacks going head-to-head. But it's time down the road for that, I guess. I'll go with the Bears here.
Yeah, I'm going Bears, too. And DeAndre Swift has had back-to-back great games. So that offense starting to percolate a little bit for Chicago defense. That they're not the 85 Bears, but they're showing signs of life for sure. Carolina, Bryce Young at Denver. Broncos minus 10.5. When's the last time that's happened? Since John Elway was the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's doing a disservice to Bryce Young. Both his starting receivers are out, and he's playing a real good defense on the road. I take Denver.
I'm finally picking the Broncos, and all it took was them facing Carolina to do it.
Yeah, I'll go Denver here. Let's go KC minus 9.5 at Vegas.
KC. I think I don't like the way where Vegas is headed.
Raiders in recent history, correct me if I'm wrong,
they
I feel
beat them
like
last year.
They've stolen some games, yeah. Some weird outcomes have happened, Chiefs undefeated, feels like it could be, but I'm not ballsy enough to do it. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll go Kansas City. It is a rivalry game. That this rivalry dates back to the 60s. Kansas City finds ways to win, and they're not going to lose to Las Vegas. And then Sunday night, Dallas coming off a bye, and the last time they played, how bad was that? What an embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, their heinies are still red from that spanking. Dallas at San Francisco. Hey, 49ers ain't all that great, and they're banged up too, but 49ers minus 4.5. What?
I would say the Niners are going to try to run it down their throat.
Mason's limited at practice, though,
yeah,
for them.
And whoever they put in there, they're going to try to run it down their throat. Kittle and Debo Samuel practiced this week, so they'll probably be back. I'm going to take the Niners.
I'm going to take the Niners, and I think it could be over by halftime. I think they might send a message here, smack around the Cowboys in prime time, remind the national audience who they are.
I won't get that aggressive, but San Francisco as well. I think things are going haywire in Big D. And you even got the owner going, hey, Derrick Henry basically would have sucked in this offense. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. World Series starts tonight, game 1. L.A. hosting the Yankees, top 2 seeds in each league, getting it on for for the first time in a while in the Fall Classic. Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com previews that. And then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. And then Inside Access takes over at 2. From CBSSports.com, let's welcome back to the show Mike Axisa. Mike, what's happening?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. And look, the star power, undeniable in this World Series. Shohei Ohtani, it's his first Fall Classic. Same for Aaron Judge. Both are the presumptive most valuable players. Obviously, it's not the first time league MVPs have met in a World Series. But given the media markets, the fact that they haven't met in over 40 years, what's the anticipation level to see both of them in the World Series for the first time?
Yeah, it's enormous. And there's kind of been these takes that, fans don't want to see the Dodgers and Yankees, the majority of fans there. They don't want to see the two biggest markets, they're kind of sick of that. But I think that's kind of nonsense. This is really good for the sport, these two incredibly high-profile teams. It's not just Ohtani and Judge. It's Juan Soto and Mookie Betts, and it's just like this list of stars. And this really is like what the World Series should be. The last few years, obviously great teams have gone, but we haven't had this much star power in a while. And it's really exciting. I'm in New York, and it's just like a different kind of vibe here. It's really neat.
Now, for the game tonight, as we break down the series a little bit more, Jack Flaherty, former Oriole, former Tiger, and longtime Cardinal, heading into a free agent year, and that's great for him, but apparently the velo's down a couple miles on that four-seamer, Mike. So what's look, L.A.'s down to, fumes in the starting rotation anyway, yeah. But what's going on with Flaherty here? Why the decrease in velocity? Because he was great in that opener against the Mets, for sure.
Yeah, I think probably just starting on normal rest had something to do with it, and it is, late October now. He's through the most innings he's thrown in a long time this season, so I'm sure there's some fatigue there, and he had a couple extra days here because of this, long week where we had nothing going on. And you just kind of look at his season. He was great with the Tigers, a little less good with the Dodgers, and he's a little less good now in the postseason. It just looks like he's kind of fatigued and wearing down. And, the postseason, the World Series, there's going to be some adrenaline there, so I wouldn't be surprised if the velocity is back up tonight. It's one thing to throw 95, 96 in the first inning, compared to doing it for five or six innings. That's a different animal, but I think he'll be okay. I just think he's a little bit tired just from throwing so many innings and pitching deeper into the season than really ever before in his life.
Now, Mike, as we look at the bullpens, as the Dodgers are pretty much bullpenning for the most part, I guess Nestor Cortes is coming back for New York. He'll be an arm for Aaron Boone in the back end of the pen as well. Which bullpen is best situated for a seven-game showdown, assuming it goes that far?
The Dodgers, they released their roster right before I came on, and Evan Phillips is not on the roster. He called it arm fatigue in the NLCS, and he's one of their go-to high-leverage relievers. He closed games for them for a while. You look at how they used him in the postseason, he was their go-to, top-of-the-order guy. When the other team's best hitters came up, they brought in Evan Phillips, and now he's not on the roster. So that's a really big loss for them with how much they use their bullpen. And so I was kind of leaning towards, the Dodgers have the better bullpen, but then you subtract one of their best relievers. They don't get many innings from their starters. That's kind of by design. When you use your bullpen this much and you just lost one of your best relievers, that's a lot. And the Yankees have, on paper, rotation advantage. They just get more innings from their guys, and they could kind of avoid that middle relief more. So I feel a little bit better now about the Yankees and their bullpen. Maybe the Dodgers have a little bit more, just high leverage depth. But without Phillips, I think that's kind of null. I'm kind of leaning towards the Yankees and their bullpen now.
Evan Phillips, another former Oriole, by the way. Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Tommy Edmond got the most valuable player in the NLCS. Giancarlo Stanton got it in the ALCS. Not that he's an unsung player. The guy could be going to Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. But pick a player or two off of each team, Mike, that could be, as we talk Ohtani and Judge and Betts and Freeman and Soto, et cetera, et cetera. Who's the unsung hero guy that comes out of nowhere and gets himself a Rick Dempsey-level MVP sort of thing?
Yeah, I think Anthony Volpe with the Yankees, he's had a really great postseason, and there's some stuff going on underneath where you look at his kind of his bat speed that we can measure now. His bat speed is up. He's not chasing as much. He's hitting the ball harder. These last, 2 weeks or whatever it was, 3 weeks, it's the best he's looked as a big leaguer, I think, just the quality of his at-bats, the production he's putting up. So I feel like he's someone who could kind of hide away at the bottom of the order there and have an impact for the Yankees. Tommy Edman was my pick for the Dodgers, but I did just win that LCS MVP. I don't know how much of a secret he is anymore.
Right.
You know, Enrique Hernandez has kind of had these great postseasons in the past. And I guess Edmund would be my pick because he does play everywhere. Switch hitter, he's really, really good against lefties. And they're going to see Carlos Rodon at least once, probably twice if the series goes six games. So I think Edmund and Volpe's the one I really kind of, I feel like he can do something for the Yankees and just kind of give them some length in the lineup and have an impact at some point.
Hey, Mike, who's more important? Who's it more important for to win tonight, the first game? Which team?
I feel like probably the Yankees. Cause I feel like Gerrit Cole's obviously the best pitcher in the World Series here. And I feel like their best path to beating the Dodgers is you got to go out and win the Cole start. So those have to be the games for you. And if you lose a Gerrit Cole start, then you got to win four of the next six games. You're in trouble there, I think. So the rotation advantage the Yankees have on paper, that has to kind of actually play out on the field. If they lose a Cole start, that's going to be a problem for them, I think.
Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com. Spinning and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All right, Mike, I said the Yankees at six. Keep in mind, I'm usually wrong. And as an Oriole fan, lifetime Baltimorean, I hate doing it. But I'm trying to think rationally. So tell me while I'm brilliant or why I'm an imbecile. And it's going to be LA.
I think Dodgers in seven. I think this is like a real close toss-up. You look at some of the projection systems, it's like 50-50 right down the middle. I tend to lean towards the teams that have a little bit more offensive depth and just more firepower in general. And I think if you look at the Yankees lineup, once you get past Stanton in the cleanup spot, there's some easy outs to be had there at the bottom of the lineup. Whereas the Dodgers, they're going to make you work a little harder, 1-9. And those are the teams I kind of lean on. And so I picked the Dodgers in seven. I'm not super confident in that. You know, I would not be surprised if the Yankees won. I would be surprised if somebody swept the series. I would not be surprised if either team won. So, I mean, Yankees in six is, like, perfectly reasonable, I think. I've been Dodgers in seven. I think that's reasonable, too. They're two really good teams, really evenly matched. I think it's just going to come down to which group of stars is better. Because you look at seven games here, players have bad seven-game stretches, like, all the time. And if somebody just doesn't have the best seven games of their life and the other team on the other side does, that's going to decide it. Is Shohei better than Judge? Is Stanton better than Mookie? You know, how does that work? And, I mean, this really feels like it could go either way. It's refreshing because I felt like last year the Rangers were a better team. Some of those Astros teams were clearly the better team in their World Series. And you know, it feels like this could go either way.
Mike Exisa, CBSSports.com. Mike, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the Fall Classic. We'll talk to you before the winter meetings as the Orioles try to re-sign Corbin Burns and trade for a superstar. How's that sound?
Sure thing.
You got it. Mike XC said, going with the Dodgers and seven. How about this for a name, Nolan, to keep an eye on? Andy Páez. It's spelled Pages, but it's Páez. He had the big game against the Mets last week. A couple of home runs. Keep an eye on that dude, perhaps. When we come back, picks for the Ravens and Browns, and then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. And then Inside Access taking over. Where are they? They're at Perryville. They're at the casino, rocking and rolling and maybe winning some dough. Benny, your selection for this game and why?
Yep. Well, Bob, the hockey game, Penn State has their home opener tonight. So I'll be going to Penn State tonight and tomorrow afternoon. Fighting the Trump rally at the same time.
You're going to be at the Trump rally, something tells me.
No, I'll be at the hockey game. Trump rally's across the street at the basketball arena. I'm going Ravens 28-14. I just think the Ravens are too good, and they've got so many new things offensively now that they got a new coordinator, a new person calling plays, running back coming back, new quarterback, and you got 3 days to get ready for the Ravens. And I'm just hoping that the Ravens defense steps up, and I think they're going to get interceptions. So I got 28-14.
I don't have the Ravens covering the spread. I think it's a little closer. I'll go 29-23. Now, with that being said, the Ravens probably going to be up 29-13-14, maybe close to Vinny's score, but that defense going to let up some late points. That's what they do. Just can't trust them to not do it at this point. But the Ravens will win.
Then it'll be an ugly Monday again.
Yeah, exactly. Even if they win six in a row.
Yep.
We'll be talking about how the defense crapped the bed again in the fourth quarter, unable to close.
Yep.
With Denver coming in it's a moot point because the Ravens are going to blow them out 34-10.
I hope you're right, Bob.
I think they score early. The want to, Buck Showalter phrase, that's going to disappear for Cleveland. And Baltimore just kind of pounds them into submission. Lamar has two touchdowns, maybe rushes for another. Henry gets his 100 yards. And like you said, Vinny, Jameis Winston's going to turn the ball over. Nick Chubb's not the guy that was busting off 90-yard runs against the Ravens way back when. I think break out the puffy pants. It's hammer time. In Cleveland, 1 o'clock. By the way, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus here on The Fan. Let's go to the Fun House. I ain't working for free.
Quick Draws, Fun House. The Rudeness, Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, some more predictions flowing in. We'll start with Jack and Perry Hall thinking, similar to Bob, he'll one-up you, though. Ravens get the blowout win 41-10. Puffy pants all the way, says Jack.
That's a smart man, that Jack.
If that's the case, there may be a pick six in there or something. There'll be multiple turnovers.
Not three pick sixes? The Pittsburgh special?
in the first half?
Yeah. And how about this? And Brandon Stevens gets all three.
Oh. Well, that
catches him.
I'll say he'll be defensive player of the week if he does that.
If he gets a hand on three balls, doesn't even have to come down with it. If he touches three, I'll be impressed.
How about, what do you want from Marcus Williams?
I want to see him on the screen.
Not the back of his number, watching a guy rolling around in the end zone.
Let's see. Antonio checking in says TGIF, of course. His score prediction, also a blowout. 42-17 Ravens win. Adding in here, have a wonderful weekend, as always.
Same to you, Antonio, and I'm with him. I don't fear this game. Now, keep in mind, I'm usually wrong, but there's...
What makes you so confident, Bob? Because
I think Cleveland's ready to pack it in.
I hope you're right.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin, get up, stand up, put your hands up, whatever the rest of that song's called.
Matt in New Orleans says, just don't trust the Ravens' defense. A guy like Jameis Winston is capable of carving them up. Even if he is expected to throw a couple picks. I like Mallett being back out there, but is he really the fix they need? I think the Ravens still win 38-30, but that defense just can't look past it.
I think Mallett will get a sack. The thing with Minshew was, I mean, Bowers is a stud at tight end, and Adams, you know, had a great day. So I don't know that Cleveland has that other than Njoku.
And we'll close with a World Series prediction. Chris says Ohtani will power the Dodgers to the championship in five. Mookie comes back to haunt the Yankees from his days with the Red Sox. And Stanton, after all of his great work in the postseason, the injury bug will strike again.
Or he strikes out multiple times again. Remember how bad he looked against the Orioles, like in the last week of September, where they were throwing it up there, anything coming close to the plate? He was just hacking away, but he got hot. And a power guy like him gets on a heater. You saw what he did against the Guardians in that vaunted bullpen as they made it to the Fall Classic. We shall see, but after Mookie Betts beats the Yankees, hopefully he'll go bowl 300, as he's done multiple times in his off time. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday, hopefully talking about a Ravens win, because if they lose to Cleveland and give up a ton of points in doing so, somebody's got some splaining to do. And unfortunately, it's going to be us who have absolutely nothing to do with the game. But we'll listen to you, Vet. World Series Terps tomorrow. Got plenty to get to. Inside Access coming up next. For Nola McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. Monday morning, that is. For now, class dismissed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.